Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Today.
That's it.
I am fine. How are you? Happy Pride Month, gay. Sashay into our deals. I know that was last month, but anyway.
But we never said it. Happy Pride, girl. I am great. I might be a tiny bit under the weather. Got my first jab today. Delighted with myself. A little bit weird and shaky after it, but that would be me. I feel grand. I can't move my left arm, but everything is well. How's herself?
I'm grand. I had my vaccine last month, as you know. But I have a feeling that you're going to have an awful time with it if you're feeling like that now. Because you only got it a few hours ago.
I know.
But hopefully not.
I was trying to deny, you know, like I am one of those people that has weird reactions and kind of like falls over and stuff sometimes. And I was like, I was like, get that out of your head because then you're going to bring it on yourself. So I was like, no, I'm fine. And I feel funny.
Oh,
but anyway, this is great.
I would not like to be Dave.
This is great because this will take my mind off it for an hour, and it's probably just all in my head anyway. Do you know the way? Be a bit mad. So yeah, you better have something. I'm telling you, you better have something good for me to take my mind off it, or else I will just hang up the phone in the middle of it.
Oh, honey, I have something good for you today. But we first need to say thank you to our new Patreon subscribers. We want to say a big thank you to Vanessa Eberly.
And we want to say a big, big thank you to Nicola Pike. Thank you so much. It means the world. We love you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, everybody. And if you'd like to join Patreon, you can do at Mysteries of the Unexplained, where you'll get bonus episodes. And now we have a Motu Weird Wednesday episode. And our second weekly episode came out this Wednesday. And I hope you all liked it.
And we have a very special section on that Motu Weird Wednesday, which is my...
which is quite popular.
My new favourite thing in the world. And it's... this really grinds my gears. So any of you that have something that just fucking, do you know something that just fucking winds you up, like can push your button and winds you up to the last, is something that really gets your goat, send it into us there. You can send us a message on Instagram, or you can send us a message on the Patreon portal, and tell us what grinds your gears, because the ones that we've had so far are fucking gas. I love people giving out. I just love it.
Yeah, they have been quite funny. Thanks so much for all your interaction. But anyway, Annie, we better get into this week's story. Are you ready?
Born ready, bitch. Bring it on.
Oh, I have some The Mummy Returns type Tom Cruise, Brendan Fraser type shit for you today, Annie.
Oh no, I thought you were going to say Tom Hardy. Always ready for Tom Hardy. Tom Cruise, not so much. I'd say to kiss Tom Cruise, I'd actually need to kneel down on the ground. Like, if I was ever in the position that I needed to kiss Tom Cruise, I think I'd have to kneel down on the ground. Imagine if I fell in love with Tom Cruise and, like, our wedding photos was, like, him in a suit and me in a wedding dress, but just kneeling on the ground with my arms around him. Oh, God, I think I have a temperature. I think I have a temperature. Go.
Born in London in 1904 into a middle-class family, Dorothy Eadie was the only child to Reuben and Caroline Eadie. At the age of 3, while playing in the family home one day, little Dorothy accidentally fell from the top of the stairs and was soon discovered unconscious by her parents. Her lifeless body was carefully examined by the local doctor and was sadly pronounced dead. Her mother Caroline was understandably distraught that the apple of her eye had been taken from her and went into sheer panic. The doctor placed Dorothy on her bed as her father comforted her hysterical mother. The doctor explained that he would return in an hour with a nurse to wash Dorothy's body and would have her death certificate. As soon as he arrived back, just like he said with the nurse, they proceeded up the stairs that had led to Dorothy's demise and opened the door to Dorothy's room. Entering the room, the doctor froze. In front of him was a very much alive Dorothy, sitting upright on her bed, playing with not a care in the world. In Dorothy's own words, she said,
"My mother told me that the doctor was said to be very annoyed by this, but not as annoyed as my father, who asked why on earth he had given them such a scare as to pronounce his only daughter was dead."
The doctor, perplexed, swore that he had done every test and knew with certainty that Dorothy had passed away, for she gave no indication otherwise.
Sorry now, but, like, what was the doctor's level of, like, what was his tests? Poking her in the fucking side.
What are your credentials? I know it's before the time that you could get a doctor cert online, you know. I don't think he'd done an online university kind of thing, but I do wonder about these doctor's credentials. Although you do hear this thing kind of happening, don't you, where they're kind of clinically dead and then they sit back up. But I don't know, I feel like something's going to, I don't know if you'd want the child back from the netherworld now. Is something going to happen here?
The Edie sent the doctor away. The relief that Dorothy was alive eclipsed his mistake. Luckily, Dorothy hadn't suffered any broken bones. In fact, she didn't seem to have been left with any scratches or marks anywhere on her body. It was as if she hadn't had a fall at all. That night, Dorothy kept crying. Mrs. Eadie, comforting her, asked, "Oh, darling, what's the matter? I know you had a tremendous fall today, but you were safe and sound here at home."
"I want to go home."
"But you are home, dear."
"This is not my home. I want to go home."
"Well, where is home, Dorothy, if not here?"
"I don't know."
Putting it down to shock, Mrs. Eadie hushed her child to sleep. But on the days that followed, Dorothy insisted that she wanted to go home, wherever home was. Life continued on, but her parents noted that Dorothy's behaviour was slightly different. At the age of 4, her parents brought her on a day trip to the British Museum. Wandering through the museum amongst the treasures of the past, her mother noted that Dorothy was quite passive until they reached the Egyptian section. And in her words, said that Dorothy went crazy. Dorothy went around to various Egyptian statues, kissing their feet, and eventually sat down beside a mummy in its glass case for quite some time. When her parents told her it was time to go home, she refused and spoke in an unusual voice, saying,
"Walk like an Egyptian."
Oh my God, I was so imagining that music coming in. And I would just like to say, if my parents had brought me to a museum when I was 4, no such things existed. And if you went crazy there, they would do that thing where they'd catch you by the hand and they'd be like, "I'll fucking slap the arse off you when I get you home. I'll fucking red in your eyes for you." And then you'd be like, "Ha, ha, 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 ha." And then you'd be so fucking petrified because you know you'd get a right slap when you got home. And then you're not crying because you were having the tantrum. Then you're crying because you're afraid. Okay, there's no need to report to social services. Everything is fine now, lads. I'm an adult.
and I thank you. Continue.
Similar outbursts would continue in the years to come. Her Sunday school teacher requested that her parents keep her away from class because she had compared Christianity with heathen ancient Egyptian religion. She was even expelled from a Dulwich girls' school after she refused to sing a hymn that called on God to curse the swart Egyptians. Her regular visits to Catholic Mass, which she liked because it reminded her of the old religion, were terminated after an interrogation and a visit to her parents by a priest. Nightmares and visions of a temple soon followed. These visions would become frequent. Always the same. A great temple with beautiful gardens and trees. To Dorothy, this was home, but she did not know how this matched her London surroundings. At the age of 6, something would click. While reading a magazine at home, she came across a picture of an ancient Egyptian temple of Abydos.
There, look! There is my home! But there is something that's missing. Where are the trees? Where are the gardens?
That cannot be your home, Dorothy, for that is a temple. You were born here in Britain, and that temple is a fantastic distance away.
That man beside the picture. I know that man, Pharaoh Seti I. He's a good man and a kind man.
Dorothy was assured by her father that she did not know him. He explained the picture was that of an Egyptian mummy 3,000 years old. Strangely, however, the picture was in fact of Pharaoh Seti I. Dorothy would say in an interview later in her life,
I belonged there, in Egypt, and would always say as a child, when I go to Egypt, not if I go to Egypt, I will be home at last.
After a close escape from a bombing raid during World War I, she moved to her grandmother's house in Sussex. Here she continued her study of ancient Egypt at the Eastbourne Public Library, where she learnt the ancient hieroglyphic language, reportedly at ease. At 14, she began to describe her sexual relationship with Seti I, claiming to have been his lover in a previous life. She even described nighttime visitations in which his mummy came to her bedside and tore away her nightdress. Yet, rather than being terrified by these nocturnal hallucinations, Dorothy was deeply obsessed with them. At their wits' end, Dorothy's parents committed her to one sanitarium after another. Nothing worked. She simply refused to let go of her beliefs. At 16, she finally dropped out of school for good. But her education was hardly at an end. She now took up part-time studies at an art school in Plymouth, where her father was operating an early movie theatre. It was there that she had the opportunity to play Isis on stage, a role for which she felt a keen affinity. During this period, Dorothy worked out the details of her previous life. She told her parents that nighttime apparitions of the Egyptian god Hura dictated her past life to her over approximately 1 year. Hura told her a story which would take up around 70 pages of cursive hieroglyphic text. It described the life of a young woman in ancient Egypt called Bentrist, who had been reincarnated into the body of Dorothy Eady. Bentrist, or Harp of Joy, is described in this text as being of humble origin, her mother a vegetable seller and her father a soldier during the reign of Seti I. When she was 3, her mother died, and she was placed in the temple of Kom el Sultan because her father could not afford her. There she was brought up to be a priestess. When she was 12 years old, the high priest asked her if she wished to go out into the world or stay and become a consecrated virgin. In the absence of full understanding and without a practical alternative, she took the vows. During the next 2 years, she learned the role in the annual drama of Osiris's Passion and Resurrection, a role that only virgin priestesses consecrated to Isis could perform. One day, Seti I visited and spoke to her. They became lovers. When Bentrist became pregnant, she told the high priest who the father was. The high priest informed her that the gravity of the offence against Isis was so terrible that death would be the most likely penalty at a trial. Unwilling to face the public scandal for Seti,
she committed suicide rather than face the trial.
Oh, bitch. This is getting so... This is so dramatic, isn't it?
Whew. Yes, because Dorothy Eady was a high priestess back on the day. Darling, don't you
and
know?
Don't you know, darling? From her from beyond the grave. But, like, I'm just imagining the kind of mummies that we grew up at. Grew up with at Halloween, that you just wake up beside, you wake up and there's this thing beside you wrapped in toilet roll, like beside the bed, and he's like, we are ancient lovers torn apart across the centuries, and you're like, that's toilet roll.
I just have visions of her sitting up in bed and her mother coming in to say goodnight, little darling Edie, and she's after like putting toilet roll all over her teddies and has it propped up in a chair and it's just like this.
Hey, I was Ben Tristro. He's telling me that I was a lover. And Sappy had his dirty way with me, mummy.
Like.
Yeah, like.
And the mother's been like, go to bed, Dorothy.
What do you do if your child starts saying like stuff like that to you? Like, how do you react to it? Like, that's fucking mad shit.
I don't know. It's like, what's Dorothy into Egypt? Anything in Egypt.
What will we get Dorothy for her birthday? Egypt. Just something about Egypt. But then she'd be like, these Troy pyramids are not the exact equation of an equilateral pyramid that was made by Seti. Blah, blah, blah. Like, you'd be like, okay, you can't get that child a toy. You can't get that child a toy. Because she'll lecture you about it when you get her the toy.
Dorothy, what would you like me and father to get you for Christmas? The corpse of Seti the First, mummy.
Go on, I want to see what happens. Go on.
At the age of 27, she would meet her future husband, Iman, an Egyptian student with whom she continued to correspond with when he returned home. In 1931, she moved to Egypt after Iman, now a teacher of English, asked her to marry him. On arriving in Egypt, she kissed the ground and announced, I have come home to stay. Downton Abbey is on location now. The couple stayed in Cairo, where her husband's family gave her the nickname Bulbul, or Nightingale. Their son was named Seti, a nod to her past love affair with Seti the First, which is creepy.
I don't think you'd call your child with your present husband after an ex-lover from a few thousand years ago. Might cause a bit of consternation in the relationship, but okay.
Iman's family soon grew sick of Dorothy's wild claims and the marriage fell apart after 2 years. Iman eventually moved to Iraq, leaving Dorothy unemployed with her child in Egypt. 2 years after the marriage broke down, she went to live in Naslat al-Shaman, near the Giza pyramids, where she met the Egyptian archaeologist Selim Hilsan of the Department of Antiquities, who employed her as his secretary and draftswoman. There, Dorothy became a helpful aide, correcting English and writing English articles for Hassan. This led to Dorothy befriending many of the famous Egyptologists of the era and earning a name for herself. She was truly finding her feet in Egypt. Many years of digging, translating, uncovering tombs followed. But the picture of the Temple of Abydos, the very temple that she saw in a magazine and exclaimed home, once again haunted her mind at night. On the 3rd of March 1956, the 52-year-old left for Abydos. She set up home in Arabet Abydos, which sits in the cradle of the mountain Peg of the Gap. It was here that she began to be called Umseti, because it was customary in Egyptian villages to refer to a mother by the name of her eldest child. Eventually, she secured a minimum wage job helping with the restoration of Abydos Temple, which she loved and seemed to possess great knowledge of. One of the Egyptologists even tested the authenticity of her claims. While being in complete darkness, he asked her to identify artifacts inside of the Temple of Seti I. Umseti could describe the paintings and artifacts with astonishing accuracy. The Egyptologists were completely baffled, since only a few people at the time knew what was inside the temple. On another occasion, Umseti was even able to give archaeologists the exact location of the gardens of Abydos, gardens that they had been searching for many years, the very gardens where Ben Trist and Seti I began their affair. Now back in her so-called home, Umseti suddenly began to revive ancient Egyptian rituals. Just like ancient priestesses would do every morning with the sunrise, she would go in secret to Osirin, which locals called the Bat, and purify her body with Osirin water. She would then walk to Abydos temple barefoot, and when inside made sure no one would smoke or raise their voice. Soon she started to exhibit healing powers, which she said came from the temple itself. A widespread eye infection that plagued locals at the time was healed instantaneously by her casting spells from the walls of the Abydos temple. A baby brought to her by distraught parents because of breathing difficulties recovered after she used water from Osirin. Umseti reported that she no longer needed glasses, was cured of arthritis and appendicitis, all from using waters from Osirin. Bizarrely, her ancient knowledge grew, and when villagers from the town of Arabat Abydos reported occasionally seeing a large golden boat floating upon a one-time lake, Umseti noted that the villagers were ignorant of the ancient Egyptian mystery play once enacted at Abydos involving a Neshmet boat. The villagers were obviously observing an apparition, she said, where there had once been a sacred lake. Unfortunately, local women did not take kindly to Umseti, her strange powers and ancient rituals. They instructed children of the town to throw small rocks at her if they saw her in the street. I would have done that to you, Annie. I would have been like, see her? See that woman there? Witch, stone her. Yeah, stone her. And all the children would be like, stone her. And I'd be like, yeah. When you see her, throw shit at her. Throw axe at her. If you have to poo-poo, throw your poo-poo at her.
Dog.
Her life was relatively simple. She lived frugally and demanded little, making money, selling handmade souvenirs to tourists, and offered her knowledge when needed. One day, while exploring the southwestern side of King Seti I's temple, a place she knew in her bones was holding a secret, Umseti was walking, hoping to make a discovery when the ground underneath gave way. She fell 10 metres into the temple, where she remained for 2 days.
Fucking hell!
A guard luckily found her when his head cover blew off in the wind and landed at the entrance to the hole. There below, unconscious, was Umseti. She claimed that she had tapped into the temple's secrets in the 2 days that she lay in a coma. She said that the wall beneath the chapel of Osiris and that of God Min, inside of that wall, all the documents of the undiscovered temples are hidden. And a little side note here, they have never found Nefertiti's temple. And some people believe that she knew where this temple was, but would not say conveniently.
Oh, really? So, and did they find all those, did they find documents in the wall of the Abydos temple?
They haven't took down the wall, but they did use sonar technology and it did show that there was some sort of cavity in the wall, which is very interesting.
Oh my good God. But this woman.
She said that she wouldn't disclose where Nefertiti's temple was because Seti I said that he didn't like the way that when people discovered it, that the way they acted inside, that they acted inside the other discovered temples and stuff. So he was kind of, he wanted her not to tell them or something.
Oh my God, she's so right. I'm so proud of her for doing that.
Stand by your man.
Stand by Seti. Show all the world you love the pharaoh from 1,000 years ago. Thank you.
After this accident, she began walking again with crutches. Unfortunately, she got hit by a bus 5 years later in front of the Abydos temple cafeteria, ending up in a wheelchair for quite some time. Poor woman.
I don't think this place is bringing you much luck there, Dorothy, but okay.
No, I know. Umseti would become a tourist attraction in herself. She would then go on to sign a contract with an American publishing company and released multiple books. Reportedly, the deal was far from fair, but she enjoyed spreading the word of the Abydos temple, and so she continued. While penning her books, friends noted that her writing would suddenly change to that of a different person, and then change back. She would also stop mid-sentence and begin to talk about an unrelated topic, as if someone had took over her body. As the years went by, her health faded. Speaking on the subject, she once said,
"Death holds no terror for me. I'll do my best to get through the judgment. I'm going to come before Osiris, who will probably give me a few dirty looks because I know I've committed some things I shouldn't have."
What have you done, Darcy? I feel like she's murdered people in the desert. She definitely is another version of you in a life as well. I would pick up the stones that the children threw at me, and I would throw them back, and some of them would bludgeon to that.
Don't start a game you can't finish.
And I will finish it, let me tell you.
Finish her. Remember, you used to say that to me all the time. Finish her.
Or maybe it was like, Umsete activated.
Character in Tekken. Yeah. Umsete, finish her.
100 points to Umsete. But because the Muslims and Christians would not let a heathen be buried in their graveyards, Umsete built her own underground tomb decorated with a false door. Through this door, the Ka, or soul to you and me, was believed to travel between this world and the next, and it was engraved with an offering prayer in conformance with ancient beliefs. The staff of Chicago House gave her an imitation Shakti figurine used in funerary practices to place in the tomb. On the 21st of April 1981, Umsete died in Abydos. The local health authority refused to allow her to be buried in the tomb she had constructed, so she was interred in an unmarked grave facing west in the desert outside a Coptic cemetery, which is a recipe for a future mummy film.
Oh, if you don't want the woman to come back again, would you put her in the fucking tomb she built? What pricks? I think justice for Umsete. We're going to have to try or get her back and watch. So what's the thing when you dig them back up and put back in the right place? I'm going to have to
exhume.
Starting a GoFundMe. Yes.
Exhumed Umsete, Umsete, Seti, Seti. Now, what you listeners wouldn't have known from this recording is that she has caused multiple problems throughout the recording of this episode. I am convinced that Umsete is now attacking and has attached herself onto my life. And if I die, you will now know that it is at the hands of Umsete and I will now be taken to Egypt. She has plagued my life for 2 days now. And my life has took a dramatic downturn. And I've started to speak like this. And soon, I shall take over the world as my rightful place as Umsete. Pharaoh to them all.
Oh! It really has been. It's been like a three-act kind of play, like trying to get this done over the last few days. And I think she got into your computer and started just, I'm rummaging around in here, I'm cleaning. It's like when your mother goes to do a clean out and then you come back in and you're like, where the fuck is everything? And she's like, I burned it.
Yes, she's definitely done something to me. Now, what I will play for you next is what Umsete believes herself happened to her at the age of 3.
But how does Umsete explain her strange insights into an earlier existence?
Well, I wonder, either the fall downstairs not to screw loose, when yet everything was so, what shall I say, logical after that. I mean, the obsession. I mean, if I had a screw loose, I might dream about a temple. But not that one particular temple and dream about it correctly. And then some people have suggested I might really have been dead and an ancient spirit got in.
What do you think?
I think probably that might be. It's just simply, I was in a place which I knew very well. No difficulty in getting there. I just had to say thank you. I think I've got an idea. I was a very low-grade minor priestess and young.
What makes you think that?
First of all, if I hadn't been a priestess, I wouldn't be wandering around the temple. I mean, the ordinary folk were not allowed in.
I just think she's the sweetest old lady. I love her even more after seeing her. Like, she's like your nan, but like mental. Well, maybe some people's nans were mental already, but she's just like your mental old nan. I love her. I love her. Exhume Om Seti. I'm starting the GoFundMe page.
Exhume Om Seti. Yes, let's get this going. Let's get this going.
It's
that's
so
right.
Cruel that they didn't bury her in the place that she had built for herself. That just makes me so sad. You arseholes.
But then I suppose arseholes. On the other side of it, like, she could be just a complete con artist.
Well, she could be, but like, what was she getting from it? Like, she didn't get much money from it. She got a bit of attention from it, but like, I don't know. I don't really see what good it did her. It was actually seemed like a bit of a blight on her life until she got to Egypt. I'm kind of happy that she died in Egypt. No, Will, believe Om Seti. If I were you, I'd be believing her because she has put a fucking hex on you. I wouldn't be doubting her validity here. I'd be going, yes, Om Seti, thank you, Om Seti, and be dressing in whatever clothes she tells you to wear.
I know, I'm now indoctrined into the Om Seti cult. One psychiatrist did say that they thought it was her fall that happened as a child resulted in damage to her brain, which then resulted in a dislocation from her surroundings, resulting in an embracement of an obsession, aka with Egypt, and namely Seti the First and Abydos. The psychologist Michael Gruber noted that Om Seti lived a functional life in the so-called everyday reality, including work in Egyptology, embroidery, making jewellery and socialising with people. Her reported experiences enriched her life so much that it would be an extreme loss to have seen her simply as somebody who was hallucinating. And a 1987 New York Times article described a biography of her as an intriguing and convincing modern case history of the belief in reincarnation. R.I.P. Om Seti.
Oh, rest in peace, Om Seti, in the grave that you weren't meant to have. Hey, come here, though. This reminds me of, you know, that, what's that program that we were all watching on Netflix? Is it Surviving Death? Is that what it's called? With all the kids coming back and telling, telling what had happened after they had died, and all these little kids being like, 3 and 4 years old, being like, my name was Johnny and I was hit by a car on that road. Like, it's very, very common. Like, and what's the explanation for it? I think actually some of the guys on the Facebook group were saying that some of their kids had been like, "Mommy," and then told them mad stuff. How do you react to that? You're like, okay, Jimmy.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, isn't it? Like,
that's just from your past life. You were definitely some kind of like, you were definitely some kind of woman working in the burlesque trade back in your
lifetimes. Oh, thank you.
Lifetimes.
I kind of like that.
Yeah, kind of bosomy, kind of like, hello, sir. You looking for a company for the evening? You know, but like a low class one on the streets of London. Oh no, like not fancy. And when I say burlesque dancer, I just mean hooker, really.
Oh my God. Well, you definitely were one of those women that sold bread on the street with your fucking hood up and was like this. You want a loaf? You want a loaf?
Oh yeah, like with one tooth. Oh my God, that reminds me. I had a dream last night that my front tooth falls out. Teeth falling out is meant to be a sign of money. Money, 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 money. Have you got any questions for me this week? Yep.
Now it's time for... Ask Om Seti anything.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I'll give you a 4.5 out of 10 there because you didn't put your heart into it, but it was your first time. So we'll see how you go in the future.
But do you not think that "ask him sad of you anything" kind of is a bit more rhymey? I think that might be a new thing. Anyway, Trish Arnold writes in, "It's my birthday today. When is yours?"
Happy birthday, Trish. I was going to say not the same month as me, but no, because we're into July and I always forget. My birthday was a few weeks ago, 16th of June, Bloom's Day, the day on which Ulysses is set, for any of you trivia freaks out there. So thanks and happy birthday. I hope you had a great one, Trish.
Yeah. Jennifer Walker Cassius writes in and asks, "What is the scariest story you've ever heard that still haunts you?"
Oh my god. Hey girl, thank you. I don't know if it still haunts me like these days, but it was the special that I did for Halloween there this year. It was the Loftus Hall one about the devil in Loftus Hall. I'm sure I've said this on the podcast before, but we got shown a video of this apparent demon visitation that happened in an old house not that far from where William lives and not that far hence from where I live. And they said that the devil visited this house in the middle of the night. So they showed us a video in school when I was about 7 or 8 years old. And yep. I was terrified for years, as in like not sleeping, couldn't sleep. But night terrors, everything, so terrified. And I think it stayed with me forever, and I think that's part of the reason I am so scared to this day. Thank you.
Brittany Bishop Bloodworth writes, "This may have been answered already, so if so, my apologies. How did you and Wilhelmina become best friends?"
I kind of stole him off his original best friend when we met in college. No, a friend of ours, Jenny. Hey, Jenny girl, if you ever listen to the show.
Hey,
they were, Jenny and Roisin were friends with Will, and I was in college with the girls, and they introduced me to Will one night, and I will never forget this beautiful vision of a boy in a baseball hat, a silver chain, tracksuit bottoms and t-shirt, trying to be a lad about town. And I just clapped eyes on him and I was like, that's the man for me.
And that was that's how it that's here we are all these years later.
Philip Norris writes, "Do you go to the gym? Just asking, as you seem to be carrying Will a lot on the pod. Love you really, Will. Honest." Now, Philip, you are going down the route of Jared. You're going down the route of Jared. I have my eye on you.
Oh, snap, bitch. Oh, I just, this might have been my favourite question I've ever been asked. And I do a regular workout. I would be a big boned girl and would be many, many, many stones heavier if I didn't. But it has to be in my home on a yoga mat in front of the TV, with one of those app things on. But he looks light, but William is a very heavy load to have carried all these years, Philip. And thank you. Thank you for reaching out and feeling my pain. Oh, this that was just too good. I'm reveling in that question. I'm reveling. Reveling.
Annie? Stop now, because this man is clearly having a breakdown, so we won't talk about it anymore. Chris Matlick writes in, "Have you ever done the I'm having a cup of tea, but actually there is whiskey or wine in my cup thing? And if so, what caused it?"
Oh my God. Have I like been surreptitiously drinking alcohol when I'm meant to be drinking something else? Yes, I would say. And probably around Christmas time when I'm home with the family, when, I mean, everyone would have a few drinks and that's fine. But I would probably do a few like sneaky more ones in on top, like not in a cup and say that I'm having tea. But I would definitely go out and do a refill when nobody's looking, just to get me through the day. And I used to do this thing. I used to do this thing in bars like years ago where I used to be able to drink a lot, like a lot. Again, my big bones. So I would run up to the bar like in between rounds and just order shots and just do them and then run back to the table without anyone knowing.
Don't worry, bitch. You little secret alcoholic.
I know. When you say that now, I'm like, dangerous. I just enjoy the odd glass of Sauvignon Blanc. Thanks for your question.
Sean Ellis writes in, "Annie, what's it like being a gay icon?"
Oh my God, are you guys? I am living for the questions this week. Thank you, Sean. It's hard. I won't say that it's been easy. It's been a challenge, but I would say it's absolutely true. And I would say that I excel. And I've mostly been called a fag hag rather than a gay icon, but thank you for the upgrade.
Annie Middleton writes in, "Where's the weirdest, scariest place you've had to sleep?"
The weirdest, scariest place I've had to sleep. Oh Jesus Christ! Now, probably somewhere where we were out like dirty drinking when we were kids, in a shed or a hay barn or something when you're out doing things that you shouldn't be doing when you're a kid. Probably on the farm in one of the outhouses there. Not that I thought it was scary or weird or haunted or anything like that, but you know when you've a load of drinking in and you're sleeping in an old like stone house, you start seeing visions of things. I haven't gone to any overnight things where they invite you to come and stay or like any of those Scarefest things because I would leave stains on all the upholstery. Okay, thank you. Next question.
Mary Newman Lothian asks, "I'd actually like to know more about Annie's artistic side. Tell us about your art, your inspiration. Where can we buy your stuff?"
Oh my God, have you planted this? What? Thank you, Mary. This is like my week.
It is your week.
I'm loving this. Can I have questions? Thank you. I am, oh God, I feel embarrassing now. I am a painter and an illustrator, and I run a kids podcast called Land of Nod, where you can find all the kids stuff and illustration. And I also sell my own paintings at annieganart.com. And you can buy stuff there. And thank you so much. You are so cute. I went to art school years ago. I was going to art school and Will was going to business school. And you can see how that worked out. So thank you. Thanks, Mary.
Belinda Johnson writes in, "If you could do a podcast on any other topic, what would it be? And would you grab Will along for the ride or go it alone?"
Oh my God, so interesting. I'm kind of obsessed at the moment with therapy podcasts. So I listened to this one with couples and counselling the whole time. Not that I would want to, obviously I wouldn't have the credentials to do that, but how about me and Will go to couples counselling therapist?
Oh, that might be an idea actually.
I'm just really interested in the whole therapy thing and the dynamics. So I listen to a lot of those. I listen to a lot of mental health ones. But like Will said before, I would really like to have a podcast where we ask experts about things that are like fascinating that I don't know anything about. I just think, I just think it's amazing that you can like call somebody up and be like, hey, will you come and explain something to me? And they'll do it. It's amazing.
It's amazing. It's right.
Thank you.
Next question. We still have a good few more, Annie. Sarah Anderson writes, if you had a team song that played whenever you entered the room, what would it be? Boom de doom doo dee dee boom.
Will used to do an accompaniment. He used to do sound effects as I walked along the street. Oh my god, what would my theme song be? Oh fuck, that's a really hard one. I think you might have to swing back on me, Will. I can't think of one right now.
Okay, Jen Holbrow writes in. She wants to know, which Flintstones character are you most like?
Oh, Betty Rubble. Ooh, Betty, you knew that Betty straight away. Out the door.
Ruth Newcomb writes in, Annie, did you create the Motu artwork? Also, I know about Will's gorgeous good garden business, but I don't know about yours, ?
Okay, this is getting like, who? I have not paid friends.
Clearly you have. You've
this.
Drugged people
I
as
have
well
not
this week, I
these
see.
Women. Thank you so much for taking the Rohypnol, you little cuties. As I said, I sell stuff on annieganart.com, and I also do the kids stuff at Land of Nod, which you can find at landofnod.com, is it? Landofnodlearning.com. And I do a kids podcast as well, and you can find all the stuff online. Thank you.
Carly Swalwell writes in, if you had to, what would be the minimum thing / amount of money you would punch Will in the face for, in brackets, sorry Will?
50 euro. 50 euro. I mean, I would do it for free. I have done it for free. If you mention chicken burger right now, I will get in the car. Dave will drive me up to Wexford and I'll slap you right now. But I have slapped Will. I also slapped his boyfriend once, which wasn't a nice thing. I did apologise, but he did do something bad. I'm not usually a proponent of physical violence, but for Will, 50 euro. I mean, baseline.
Actually more expensive than what I thought it would be. Janique Leslie Cauldron writes in. She says, Annie, do you have certain types of YouTube videos you watch regularly? And if so, what are your top three? Mine are overgrown lawn cleanups, mudlarking and magnet fishing to help me fall asleep.
Oh my god, that's so crazy. Right, I don't do my YouTube too much, but I am obsessed and I look at them before I go to sleep because it calms me down. On Instagram reels of watching girls put lace front wigs on. And because of course I keep looking at it, then they all come up like it's all black girls doing their wigs, but I'm just fascinated at how amazing they look and how they lay down the front of them, and that like they use the glue and then the thing and then they cut the lace and then they have a whole beautiful new head of hair. It's just, and they just look so real. And you know how I got into this, Will? It was actually that I asked you a question ages ago about how some drag queens get their wigs so good, and you were like, they're lace front wigs, and I was like, what the fuck is a lace front wig? And now I could write a fucking book about lace front wigs. Could I put one on? No, but I could write a book. Thank you.
That is so funny. I just have visions of you like YouTubing like lace front wig, and then just sitting there in your pajamas cross-eyed and like
obsessed,
lovely.
Like, and I'm like, she's not as good as the last girl. Yeah, I like that, but she hasn't laid her edges down that well. I wouldn't use that product if I were you. Yeah, no, that's not a colour. Like, I'm like, that's all I watch.
You wouldn't shave your head and get a fucking wig then.
I really could do it.
Debbie Robertson writes in and says, Annie, what would be your drag name X?
Oh, It would have to be Fanny because of the Annie, and I have been called Fanny for a lot of my life as well by friends. So, Fanny Galore? Fangita Galore. No, Fanny Galore. Fanny Galore. Let's not try to get exotic with it. I think Fanny Galore would be a very good name for me.
Fanny Galore? It's kind of nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
I kind of like that, actually.
Yeah, What was yours going to be there last week? Yours was
Mangina something.
Diamond Mangina,
wasn't it?
Diamond Mangina. Oh, Fanny Galore is way better. It doesn't have notions about itself. Can I come back to a question there about my theme tune?
Unfortunately, you can't, Annie. That's it. I'm only messing. Yeah, you can. Oh. What is it?
I think it would be Cher's Gypsies, Tramps and Tears, because I am a bit of a gypsy and I grew up in a trailer and I might be moving back into one soon. Thank Lovely. You.
Alexis Maloney writes in and says, if you could be famous for any one hit wonder, what would it be?
Gypsies, Tramps and Tears. Thank you.
Kate Pattinson writes in, Snog, Marry, Avoid, Brian the Reptilian, Bigfoot or Liza Minnelli.
Liza. Okay, I actually think I'd have to just kill Liza because she'd
That's not an option. We're not that violent. Kate isn't that violent. Avoid is the worst option with this.
Oh, I thought it was kill. Jesus, you're very pacifist there. Okay, so I'd avoid Liza. She would do your head in. I would have to marry Bigfoot because everyone knows that I've got a little soft spot for them. And I suppose Brian could be like a one night kind of a thing, I suppose, because you couldn't let Brian get in there because he would take over your mind and then he'd be trying to harvest you for the reptilians. So, but a one night, apparently, he's a very good lover.
Okay,
I take him for one night.
Okay, fair enough. And finally, Liz Liz says, if you killed Will, where would you hide the body?
I think I have a pencil case lying around somewhere that he should fit into, like
probably would actually.
I know, in all seriousness, I couldn't, but if he drove me to it, I would have to hide him. I'd hide him in the closet because he's so far out of it that nobody would ever go looking in there again for him. You know, he came out of there years ago and I just put him back into it and people probably wouldn't notice their lids and everything would be fine. If I couldn't find the pencil case, he'd go back into the closet where he came from. And thank you.
Thank you for all the questions this week.
Thank you for all the support for me this week. And I'll be back next week where if you really feel like it, I can just take over Will's law as well. Thank you.
We'll just leave Annie roll. And then you'll all be crying, won't you? You's better. Because I'll bait the heads off you. Do you understand me? I'm watching yous all now. I've got my eye on yous. I've actually gone cross-eyed this week looking at all these messages because I'm trying to keep my eye on all of yous. So watch your back whenever you go for your little runs in the evening on your own. Maybe I might be after flying over there. I could be behind you with my arms folded, very angry, questioning you. What was with that question? What was with that question, yeah? Remember in the group, Philip? What was that question about the gym, Philip? Oh my God, there's news. Hold on, I just have to turn on the news. Homing pigeons that can't find their way home. A block exit. Daytona Beach, Florida. An exit off Interstate 95 in Florida had to be closed for 3 hours after 100 homing pigeons fell off a truck and refused to move, posing a driving hazard to motorists, officials said on Wednesday. A crate carrying 100 homing pigeons fell off the truck late Tuesday near Daytona Beach. Because the birds roost at night, the pigeons stayed on the road until bright lights from vehicles startled them. They flew into the air and created a hazard for drivers, according to a news release from Volsa County officials. It's the worst case scenario. Home and pigeons that can't find their home, the news said. Oh, sorry, the news is actually from South America, so all news stations are. sheriff's deputies, state troopers and animal service workers attempted to capture the pigeons, ultimately recovering 73 fowl. The birds were banded, so their owner wasn't immediately determined, officials said. Weren't banded. The birds were not banded. Our job is to help the animals find their way home, whether they're covered in fur, scales or in this case, feathers, said Volta County Animal Control Officer Alicia Dees. We're hoping that someone out there might have information on where these birds came from and which truck was carrying them. I hope these birds get home okay. We're having a state fair this fall, which will be quite nice with pumpkin pies. You can bring the family. It's only $5. And we're hoping that the weather holds up because we are going to have a hootin' bootin' time. Let me tell you.
Mimi, fuck off. This isn't your news section. Fuck off back where you came from.
Do you have a moment to talk about Seti? She was an Egyptian priestess who was reincarnated into a lovely girl called Dorothy Edie. And now she's in a demonic witch called Annie Gann that lives in Cork. And she has hypnotized a lot of the listeners on her podcast and turning them away from William, who's actually a very, very pure soul. So you should be on the lookout. And actually, these birds falling from the sky / truck is actually an omen that she is about to release her ultimate power, which is sluttiness. So be on the lookout. Thank you.
That was the most bet down news.
I don't create the news.
I think I might ever
have
had.
I don't create the news, Annie. I can't make up stories about the news. I'm just the news reader. That's my job. I'm not the on the road reporter. I'm the reader, Annie.
Lord, I hope that this vaccination that I had just sends me into a coma for the next few days. I hope I wake up okay, but just so I can have a little break from you, okay? Small break from you. Now, if you would like to find out anything more about us, guys, you can always follow us on our Instagram, which is Mysteries Pod.
Sorry, Annie's homework this week is to find out what the Instagram username is.
No, it's Mysteries of the Unexplained Pod. You can also follow us on our Facebook group at Mysteries of the Unexplained, where we talk about all kind of delightful kind of things. You could also follow us on Patreon if you would like to go to patreon.com/Mysteries of the Unexplained, where you can join for just the price of a cup of coffee a month and you can get our special Motu Wednesdays and Grinds My Gears information. And thank you.
Very good, very good. Thank you so much, guys. For listening. And we will see you, our little Patreons, on Wednesday for another episode of Motu Weird Wednesdays. And for we'll see you next Friday for more mysteries.
Prayers for Annie and Annie's arm.
Here we go. High Priestess is looking for prayers for her to be worshipped. Fucking hell, talk about subtle. Join us next week for more mysteries of the unexplained strain.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.